A century ago, in 1915, Spoon River Anthology was published. In more than 200 poems, the residents of Edgar Lee Masters' fictional Midwestern town of Spoon River speak to us from the grave. And death has made them talkative. They tell us about their unrealized hopes and dreams and damaged lives. The book was a landmark in American poetry. The poems took on taboo subjects, sex and abortion and suicide. And they told a story of everyday America that was not positive or pretty. And it became a bestseller. Curtis Fox looked into Spoon River Anthology on its centennial and its legacy.
Spoon River Anthology sold 80,000 copies in its first year and has never been out of print. I'll say that again because for poetry, that's pretty much unheard of. Since 1915, Spoon River has never been out of print. Edgar Lee Masters was already a ripe 46 years old when the book came out, and his previous efforts gave absolutely no indication that he was someone who would radically change American literature.
Masters anticipated modernism.
Douglas Unger is a novelist who teaches at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and at the Black Mountain Institute.
And I think what he did, consciously or not, is that he took on and critiqued the whole trope of bucolic rural America with the white farmhouse and the red barn and the brimming silo.
Harold Arnett.
Take this poem and its portrait of a man trapped by his life in rural America. Harold Arnett says he's a failure. We don't know why, he doesn't explain, but failure in those days usually meant bankruptcy. He speaks to us about his last moments.
I leaned against the mantel. Sick. Sick. Thinking of my failure. Looking into the abysm, weak from the noonday heat. A church bell sounded mournfully far away. I heard the cry of a baby and the coughing of John Yarnell, bedridden, feverish, dying. Then the violent voice of my wife. Watch out, the potatoes are burning. I smelled them. Then there was irresistible disgust. I pulled the trigger. Blackness. Light. Unspeakable regret. Fumbling for the world again. Too late. Thus I came here, with lungs for breathing. One cannot breathe here with lungs, though one must breathe. Of what use is it to rid oneself of the world, when no soul may ever escape the eternal destiny of life?
So here we have a graphic poem about a suicide, where as soon as he pulls the trigger, he regrets it.
Fumbling for the world again. Too late.
Which makes you wonder, why did poems like this catch the popular imagination in 1915?
Edgar Lee Masters hit the heart of a disillusionment that was abroad in the land.
Well, I was sort of looking for that in poetry, I guess.
Probably a lot like readers in 1915, Matt Rasmussen was drawn to the brute honesty of Spoon River when he came upon it in his high school library. Matt's a poet now, and his latest book was a finalist for a National Book Award.
In my own life, my brother committed suicide when I was 16, and so I found in poetry a form of mourning that I didn't really see anywhere else. That was private, also in a way public, you know, it's sitting there in the library. And so those are the sort of the poems I gravitated towards, the darker ones. I think there's a few suicides in the book.
And murders and ghastly accidents and sexual violence.
He is, in many of the poems, questioning directly Victorian American values of the way women should behave, the way men and women should behave with each other, what marriage means, what family means. And formally what he did was he wrote a cycle of poems in which more is happening in the white space between the poems than actually happens in the poems.
Minerva Jones.
A sequence of poems that begins with Minerva Jones is a good example of how Masters uses that white space between the poems to tell a complex story.
It's obviously a very, very sad poem.
Minerva Jones is the village poetess. She is sensitive. She is intelligent.
Herbert Russell is the author of the only full-length biography yet written about Edgar Lee Masters.
We're dealing with a person who is herself not particularly pretty. She's also vulnerable because she is very much by herself.
I am Minerva, the village poetess, hooted at, jeered at by the yahoos of the street for my heavy body, cock eye, and rolling walk, and all the more when Butch Weldy captured me after a brutal hunt. He left me to my fate with Dr. Myers, and I sank into death, growing numb from the feet up, like one stepping deeper and deeper into a stream of ice. Will someone go to the village newspaper and gather into a book the verses I wrote? I thirsted so for love. I hungered so for life.
For all its candor, Spoon River is a masterpiece of euphemism. This poem is about rape and abortion, but those words never appear.
It's part of Minerva's character.
That's Kathleen Rooney, a poet, publisher, and educator in Chicago.
She might not put it that way. You know, I think it's obviously a monologue like these pieces are, and I think, you know, he was trying to write it as she might have chosen to represent that experience.
First of all, it's 1915, and one doesn't write or speak directly of such incidents. If anything, you do it indirectly.
She's raped by Butch Weldy.
Captured me after a brutal hunt is, in a way, more terrifying than, you know, had he just said, raped me.
And she is eventually the subject of an abortion.
She dies from it. I think the image that she presents in the poem is incredible.
He left me to my fate with Dr. Myers, and I sank into death, growing numb from the feet up, like one stepping deeper and deeper into a stream of ice.
Like one stepping deeper and deeper into a stream of ice. It's sort of morbid image, right? But beautiful in a way.
We hear later on about the man who impregnated Minerva Jones. We hear more about the doctors in Spoon River.
Dr. Myers.
Dr. Myers is a victim of the village, which is ironic because he himself has done a lot to save the village and its people.
No other man, unless it was Doc Hill, did more for people in this town than I. In all the weak, the halt, the improvident, and those who could not pay flocked to me. I was good-hearted, easy Dr. Myers. I was healthy, happy, in comfortable fortune, blessed with a congenial mate, my children raised, all wedded, doing well in the world. And then one night, Minerva, the poetess, came to me in her trouble, crying. I tried to help her out. She died. They indicted me. The newspapers disgraced me. My wife perished of a broken heart. And pneumonia finished me.
And pneumonia finished me. this is Masters' view of the village right here.
I think it's amazing that in just a few lines, Masters is able to show how multiple lives were ruined by this incident. And then, you know, you also get Mrs. Myers.
He protested all his life long. The newspapers lied about him villainously. That he was not at fault for Minerva's fall, but only tried to help her. Poor soul, so sunk in sin, he could not see that even trying to help her, as he called it, he had broken the law, human and divine. Passers-by, an ancient admonition to you, if your ways would be ways of pleasantness, and all your pathways peace, love God and keep his commandments.
Mrs. Myers belongs to a group of the very religious that always got under Master's skin. She is very much a village moralist, and what she has learned about morality and religion is apparently more important to her than her relation with her husband.
So now you've got the full story of Dr. Myers' tragedy and Minerva's tragedy and Mrs. Myers. between them, the reader then imagines the story and begins to put together the story of the interrelationship of the whole town. So the book is visionary in that way. There's no other cycle of poetry in the American tradition that did that.
There are at least two things about the creation of Spoon River that are kind of mind-blowing. The first is that nearly all the characters in the book were modeled on real people, many from the two Illinois towns where Masters grew up. The second is that Masters really didn't know what he was doing when he began writing it. He started it in mocking response to William Reedy, the editor of the St. Louis magazine Reedy's Mirror, which had been publishing his earlier, more conventional verse.
Reedy was a very good critic much of the time, and he was the one who told Masters that you really have to get away from this genteel, derivative, 19th century Moon June and Spoon stuff and give us real life. And Masters felt insulted after one of Reedy's exchanges with him, and so he sat down and he wrote 8 of the Spoon River Anthology epitaphs, initially just as a joke. They were a literary chip on the shoulder, and he sent these to Reedy and said, "Here, is this realistic enough for you?" And Reedy recognized their value, and Spoon River Anthology was underway.
The book turned out to be hugely influential in American culture. Sherwood Anderson read it in one night before writing his classic collection of interlocking stories, Winesburg, Ohio.
Not only Sherwood Anderson, but Sinclair Lewis in Main Street and Babbitt. And later on, certainly Thornton Wilder and Our Town.
Some scholars also point out the tonal echoes of Spoon River's anguished souls in the work of confessionalist poets like Robert Lowell.
I hear my ill spirit sob in each blood cell as if my hand were at its throat. I myself am hell.
After Spoon River, Masters wrote nearly 50 more books, but he reverted to the Moon, June, and Spoon stuff, and no one really reads those books anymore. He died in 1950. The headline in the New York Times made it clear why anyone other than his family and friends would care. Edgar Lee Masters dies at 81, wrote Spoon River Anthology. For Studio 360, I'm Curtis Fox.
Curtis Fox hosts the podcast Poetry Off the Shelf for the Poetry Foundation. Music in our story was by the Claudia Quintet. Special thanks to Pike Malinowski and Katie Peterson.